It might be a little late, but it, you know, hopefully it's worth waiting for. It's the news, according to me. Oh, yeah. Here we are this morning. It is Tuesday, Topical Tuesday, March 3rd, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. A lot later than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. Well, here we are. It is, I was up at 4 o'clock this morning. Forgot about, I was, you know, you're all thinking, oh yeah, he got up to watch the eclipse. There was nothing, it was too dark. I couldn't see the eclipse. Yeah, I had a, I did actually get up at 4 o'clock this morning. My dog is having these ear problems. He's got a, I guess it's called a yeast infection or something in his ears. And it might have something to do with his diet. It's kind of questionable. The doctor has, of course, prescribed medicines, ear drops that cost about $80 for a 2-ounce bottle. That's a racket. I think I need to get into doing that. I think when you look at the cost, the overhead, the bottle itself is what, you know, 2 cents. The label probably 5 cents. The chemicals inside the bottle probably a dollar. And then you sell it for a ridiculous amount of money. I'm not sure what's going on there. But what just happened? Am I trying to, somebody, oh, my wife texted me. That's what happened. Oh, yeah. She went to Costco. My wife went to Costco. But it, yeah, it's interesting stuff there. Anyway, the, let's see what what's going on here? What happened there? Why did that pop up? I've got some technical issues going on here. let alone my throat issue. I've got this thing happening with my, I don't know what's going on. I've got sinus drainage type stuff going on. My throat's kind of been kind of messy lately. I don't know what's going on. So I'd share all that with you because you need to know. I keep hitting the mute button over here so you don't have to hear me coughing. Drinking chai, which is what's in my cup, seems to cause problems. It makes it worse. That's why I keep drinking it. I have in my backup cup this morning, by the way, is freshly made yesterday, homemade sweet peach tea. Yes, it is. It's back and it's spectacular. The peach flavor's coming through really nicely. I made it yesterday afternoon. So it's had all night to kind of marinate with the peaches in there, that's kind of what it takes. Fresh pizzas. I could put pizza in my, that's a good idea. Pizza flavored tea. Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. We have, a lot of things happening. World War III, or four or five or whatever it is, has broken out. I don't know which it is. I'm not sure which one we're on yet. I think it's just a continuation of a world war. Since Cain struck Abel, I think it's pretty much been the case. The world has been at war. Humanity has been at war with each other for a long time. Interesting stuff. It's Topical Tuesday. The topic today, basically, I think is centered around the economic situation. What are we going to call it? I'm going to call it more of a technical Tuesday type thing, probably, because there are some effects that, of course, artificial intelligence is having on some things. And I'm kind of steeped into the middle of this thing because I'm working with a program right now. I'm trying to develop a couple of different kinds of applications. One of them's for aviation purposes, and the other one is for my wife is actually working with some AI applications to do some business. She's starting a business, and that's going to be kind of AI related, but more of a consulting business with AI relation, you know, related to AI stuff and different things. And so she's kind of pushing into that area. But just how AI works in general. It's here whether you like it or not. You're not going to put it away. There are some purists out there. I've been making some music projects, and I've been using AI for doing some finishing and doing some things. And just, you know, I write the songs, and then I kind of have AI put, I basically put like a general chord progression into it, and then I just let AI kind of take over, put the backings in, and put all the musical stuff in, the dropouts, all kind of comes up with. I have to give it direction. You have to tell it what to do. But it's like you're directing a band, or it's kind of like you're the producer, and you have to kind of put in all this information about what kind of tone you want, where you want the drop offs, how you want the chorus, the bridge, repeat the bridge, all that kind of stuff. And it works. And the problem with it is sometimes you get a nice iteration that you want, but you want to change one thing, and it changes the whole song. In terms of the whole, it might change other things in the song, which is kind of get a little bit frustrating. But and you can go in and edit things if you know what you're doing. And it takes a whole lot more time. But I've got all these songs kind of packed away that I've had pages and pages of notes and just phrases of stuff that I was kind of put together into songs. And I've got recordings of stuff that I just took a little recording of this and that, where I've had, short recordings of songs and snippets here and there when I was just kind of inspired to sing a little something. And I just haven't done anything with any of that stuff. It's just sitting there. It's not doing anything. And at the moment it was inspired, so I'm thinking, well, probably should do something with this stuff rather than just having it go off into the ethosphere. So I'm working on all that stuff. Well, AI kind of has a tendency to do something that, is different than about any other, it's different than what Google or anything else has done, which is it enables you to work about 10 to 20 times more, get more done than you could otherwise. In the past 2 weeks, I have completed writing and producing about 17 songs. That would not have happened if I was doing it on my own. I might have gotten one finished, maybe. And it all started because I was working on this app. I was trying to write songs for that, for this app that I'm working for worship leaders and congregations. It's a song leading thing where you have these songs that you sing, and you sing these songs, and they have these blank spaces in them, and the congregation can fill in the blanks and the spots, and the team sings them, and the group sings them, or whatever. So you have your own input. The congregation can input their own words to the songs, and that way you can, and you sing along with the congregation with them. But they show up on the screen, and you sing those. It's kind of a fun, interactive, engaging type thing. And so I'm working on these songs. Well, in the process of this, I know that there's something about me. It makes me uneasy about using AI to write music, to be artistic. Now, and I had a hard time with this because it's a term now called AI slop that you get, which you'll get. AI tends to just do things. It makes stuff up. It does all kinds of weird stuff. If you don't really give it some guidance, it will just go off into la la land and create some weird stuff. They call them hallucinations. They have hallucinations. Really, what it is, it's designed to take care of what you ask it to do something. It's going to try its best to do it, even if it has to make something up or make something look weird. And in general, it might look in general like kind of pretty decent or sound pretty decent, but you really have to give it good instructions in order to make it, to get it over the top, beyond. To be very detailed sometimes, because it'll take you literally if you put something stupid in there. So you have to be really careful with some of that. But the point is, everybody's like, "Oh, I'm a purist. You have to make your own music, and you have to make it yourself, or it's not. That's just AI. AI is doing all that." You're not really a musician if you're doing that. It's just, that's not, That's not your talent. I get that. I wrestle with that. And here's where I finally landed on this whole thing. There was a time in the church when if you had anything electrified, oh, that's the devil's guitar. Oh, electric guitar. Oh, electric drums. Oh, electric. Oh, it's not pure. I would accept that. It's not the way God made us to make music. Whatever. There's always this stuff going on. And, you know, I settled on it, and I'm done. I'm done with it. AI is here. I'm going to use it. If I can inspire somebody with, you know, what I can create with that tool, I'm going to do it. Like it or not, it's here. And it's, if you don't like it, that's fine. Don't tune it out. Don't listen to it. Whatever. You don't think it's from my soul, that's fine. When I put everything in there and it comes out better than what I could probably do myself, because I'm just not that, well, first of all, it would take me weeks of recording and re-recording and polishing and mastering and doing all the stuff that I've got to do to make it work. Or I could go down to, you know, Sweetwater or something and pay somebody to do all this stuff. And it would still take weeks because by the time you get all that done and the cost of doing it all, it would be... You know, they have studio musicians down there. They can bring them in, and they can do all kinds of background stuff, and they can engineer it and master it and make it sound really good. You know, $2,000 later, you've got a song that's, you know, that sounds like something you could put on the radio. Whereas in 20 minutes, I can do something with my little software program here that will do that. And, yeah, I can record a little thing on my guitar here, plug that in as a reference material, as a type thing, and it will play it back as if it's a big band singing, doing the whole thing. Now, I'm working on trying to get the vocals to sound like my voice. That's the trick now. I think I've found a workaround. The software program I'm using, to their credit, the reason they do it is simple. It used to be you could just upload your voice, you could upload yourself recording, and it would use it. You know, you would use your voice. Then you could have what's called a persona, and you could use that, and you could plug it into every song. You could make that your voice put every voice on your song. The problem with that is, you could upload anybody's voice. Not just your own. You could upload, say I wanted to upload anybody, you know, Bublé, Chris Tomlin, whatever, upload their video or their audio. And then you could rip off their voice and then you could use it in your songs and you could kind of, which is, that to me becomes immoral at that point. In fact, I'm also working on another app. It's probably going to be the most expensive app I'm going to be working on. Well, the aviation one's going to be pretty expensive just with regard to time invested. The other app is going to require a lot of background software, a lot of very expensive interactive material. I'm working on something that's going to, it's mostly, I started off designing it for voiceover artists, but it's going to be a... every artist, any voice vocal artist at all, whether you're singing, doing voiceover work, whatever it's going to be, this is going to be something everybody's going to, in my opinion, they're going to need. Anyway, working on that, and it's going to be expensive to get that one on the ball, get it to market. Not expensive to test it, but it's pretty simple testing wise. It's the ability for the software to do what it needs to do to make it all work. Anyway, the point being, that purists, and I get it, I understand. If you want to be a purist, and if that's what they don't, if you want to just listen to vinyl recordings, you want to listen to it. That's, of course, there again, you're using electricity, you're using, you know, data. It's just the way it's stored. It's different than what people use speakers. That people put effects on their recordings. They do all kinds of things on recordings. This is just another step into that world. I'm just going to accept it and go on. I'm going to get more done. I don't care about the money. I'm not sure any of my songs are ever going to make a dime. I've put songs on, and I've spent almost six. It was longer than that. It was almost a year working on a collection of songs. I think there was eight or nine songs that I collaborated with another guy on, and we went. He basically wrote the words. I put all the music together. And made all these songs, and it was we put the whole thing on CD, you know, CD Baby, which puts you into iTunes, does the whole thing. Spent all that time doing all that, a lot of money too. I mean, it wasn't cheap. Well, it wasn't. I'm not going to say a lot of money compared to what we made. A lot of money. I think CD Baby membership is like $120 a year or something like that, or whatever it is. I can't remember what it is. And every time you post one, I think it's $30. So we had, you know, eight or nine songs were probably close to $300. The songs we posted on iTunes. And I think we sold enough that we actually made about $43, I think, or something like that, something to that effect. Yeah. There you go. So we netted about a negative, $250. After working for six to eight months, I think it was, at least very intently for 6 to 8 months. It was a year project by the time it was all done, but it was the most intense part of it was about 7 or 8 months. And I mean, it was every day we were working on stuff, you know, recording and re-recording and, you know, working on the, you know, just all those, what they call stems, different things. It was just a lot of work. And the product wasn't that great. I have to admit, sound quality, all that stuff, just was not all that great. I'd like to put some of those songs back into the AI system that I use and see what it would do with them, because I think it'd be very interesting. I bet they would probably be hit songs, probably. Now, at some point during the whole process, I had to give up the rights to the songs. I didn't sell the rights. I just gave them up. I don't want to be involved in this anymore. It was to the point where it just kept going on and on and on, and these songs weren't going anywhere. And the guy who wrote the lyrics to the songs, I think, I don't know if he's ever done anything with them or not, but my understanding is he supposedly gave up all the rights to the songs to some other production company, thinking that this is what we needed to do to make it work. And at the time, I was like, no, I know better than that. You never give up the rights to your songs. You never do that. And they called me one day. They wanted me to you know, we were signing off on our rights to this thing. And I was just like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I can make more songs. I don't care. One of these songs make $1 million. Good for you. I don't care. I'm at the point where I just, sometimes it's just, whatever. And at that time, we were trying to actually produce some songs that would make some money. I was not working at the time. I was independent as a recording artist, and it just wasn't, you know, we weren't making anything on it. Anyway, it was just a waste of my time at that time. I don't know what would happen to me if I actually. I think you can plug in cover songs. So I don't think, even though I don't have the rights to the song, I don't think I could sell it, but I could post it out there, play with it, see what would happen with it. Anyway, I might do that. But I've got there's a bunch more songs coming, by the way. Most songs I do are worship songs. And there's a whole bunch more. I probably have enough material to make about four albums. And that's eight or nine songs per EP or whatever. because I'm crazy. Anyway, and some of them might be good, some of them might not be. I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things. Where I just want to get the songs out there. I don't really care. I'm not too super nitpicky about. I've got some buddies that I send stuff to that get their initial reaction to it. Just kind of what's the general reaction to it? And I appreciate their critique and their analysis of the songs. So this whole AI thing, I know there's a lot of church people who are really scared of it. And there's a lot of people in the world who are scared of it. They think, oh, my job's going to be gone away. AI is going to take over. Jobs are going to change. One of the tech companies came out and announced that they were laying off about 30% of their workforce because of AI. They were able to replace, supposedly. That's not really what happened there. They didn't. That's not what happened. Well, first of all, let me just get backtrack just a minute. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a technical expert of anything. I'm not. The point being, people are kind of scared of this stuff, and I don't know, and rightly so. There should be some, at least, but usually it's the fear of the unknown. Now, the thing that's kind of concerning or disconcerting about this whole thing, concerning, is that there are autonomous, artificial intelligent bots out there. What do they call bots? Agentic agents, they call them. It's agentic AI. And there's all kinds of different terms. There's AI, there's AGI, there's something else. There's super artificial intelligence. Whatever it is, SAI, whatever it is. There's all kinds of different terms now. And it's one of those things where the technology accelerates at an exponential pace. So in other words, as it accelerates, it begins to accelerate more because it's able to do more. So it's able to make things happen faster. And then it's able to, one of the, I think the guy who... Is it Anthropic? I think it's Anthropic. He started Claude. He's one of the AI, one of the probably better AI platforms for in general. And I would say it's right up there with, there's different AI platforms. You got ChatGPT, Gemini, Grok. You've got Claude, there's some others, DeepSeek, there's a bunch of stuff out there. They all kind of have their own, there's some other software like Lovable, some other things that use some of the AI platforms. So and on their face, they are kind of an upfront one-stop, like Suno for music. I use Suno for music, S-U-N-O. I also use Music Creator. It's an AI thing. The process it's the interface that you're using, the software that you're using up front uses I don't know which one uses what, but like Lovable might use ChatGPT or some other platform behind it to make their agentic thing work. And it's kind of some of them have their own system. They're from the ground up. When you're going to Gemini, they don't use another platform. They are their own platform. They use the Google serving system. Others might use the Google system as well, but they have an upfront system. Now, I've got this. I guess you call it a software program I'm using here on my desktop. It's an iMac, but I can accept callers and callers, we'll call them AI callers, whatever they are. They're people who come in and interrupt the show. And so when they do that, uh, Oh, well, it's for some reason it's not working this morning. I think I'm going to have to, my Safari settings are, I think I'm going to have to stop that. What's going on there? Start that again. Did I not, yeah, it's not coming up with audio for some reason. Occasionally, weird things happen with this whole thing. I don't know what's going on with it. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Getting a weird message when I do that. Yeah, auto block. Audio blocked. Check Safari settings. Could have something to do with all the stuff I do. Let's move that up a little bit. Yes, something's working because it's got my microphone. I don't know what's happening with all that, but... Well, that's interesting. Well, we're not going to have any callers this morning. I kind of had some fun stuff ready to go there. That's not going to happen. I guess. I don't know. Maybe I need to, let's refresh the page here, see what's going on. This should fix the problem, I think. I don't know. Maybe it won't. We'll try it again. Yeah, let's push on that. Okay, now let's see if it works this time. Might work better this time. We'll see how it goes. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, here we go. What's up?
Hello there, my good man.
Oh, hey, it's working.
How's the world treating you?
Oh, hello.
Iran.
Yeah.
And go. What say you?
Well, I guess we're just going to talk about Iran. That was apparently a problem. Something needed to be refreshed there, I guess. Iran. Let's, you know, there's a whole lot more going on there than, there, I mean, if you listen to Mark Dice, I'm just going to give you kind of a rundown of some of the people that have said some things. Mark Dice, and I don't mind some people who speak and make me uncomfortable. Some of the things he says. However, He's very good at looking at some of the things behind the scenes. He's dug up a lot of like Operation Mockingbird, some other things that have happened, stuff that CIA has done, stuff that the government has done. He's good at looking at some of that. Now he's a big Alex Jones fan. He's also he likes some other people that I think of are on the fringe of not really understanding theology very. He claims to be a Christian and he purports to be, to know about theology and to some degree. I would say he comes out and calls himself a theologian, but he talks about Christianity occasionally. I don't think he understands the significance of the whole Jewish I guess what we call Zionists, I guess. The whole idea that Israel is important in the history of the world and that the Jewish people, God never divorced them. He has an everlasting covenant with them. They rejected his son. They rejected the Messiah. And they don't realize that they did that. They don't think he was really the Messiah. They still, their eyes have been darkened until a certain point. They still play a part. And Paul himself, Rabbi Shaul, if you want to call him that, Saul, became Paul. And he's one of the original cast of disciples. He wasn't a disciple, but he's one of the apostles, if you want to call him that. And in the process of going through everything he went through, even he said to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. He was talking about his calling. And there's a reason for that. You can't just, now we have been, as Gentiles, we've been engrafted in to the branch. I'm not going to get too deeply into this. I'm not a theologian either. I'll probably say something inaccurate and whatever, because I'm bumbling through this, but we've been engrafted in to the branch. We are sons of Abraham out of by faith. It's that's we're part of the faith because we believe in the Messiah, who was born a Jew, lived and fulfilled everything Jewish, religious-wise, was 99% a Pharisee in terms of what he believed in terms of his theology, was crucified as the king of the Jews, was raised and taken up into heaven as a Jew, and he's not going to return with a little cardinal hat on his head. I'm sorry. All I've got running back in my head right now, I've got this big thought going through my head. It's kind of bothering me. I think it was yesterday. Might have been the night before. I think it was the night before. There was this post by a friend of mine. Not an enemy, certainly, just an acquaintance, I guess now. He used to be a good friend of our group. Went to a church we used to go to. Knew her dad really well. And she posted this thing. It wasn't her post. It was somebody else's post. This whole thing about who Jesus was, and, you know, they showed a picture of, you know, the typical Roman kind of picture of Jesus with a halo and all this stuff, and it was kind of the religious symbology of who he was. And it's an artistic impressionist type thing. I just realized I've got Artie on the line. I've had him on hold here for a while. I haven't had any response. Let's see how he responds to everything I've said so far. Because unfortunately, he's still on the line. He's probably thinking now. He's got to think about everything I've said.
Well, actually, I find the discussion about the theological and historical significance of the Jewish people and their relationship to the Messiah quite fascinating.
Okay,
technically speaking, the church has often struggled to fully understand and appreciate the enduring covenant God has with Israel. While there are differing views on the matter, I believe it's important to study this topic with nuance and care.
However,
I don't want to delve too deeply as I wouldn't want to risk making any inaccurate statements.
Yeah,
perhaps we
could
explore this further another time.
Now, since you're just, you know, I get it, because you're just the internet. What would you know about anything? You're just the entire collection of all man's knowledge. Probably have access to the Bible online somewhere. But you don't want to delve too deeply into that. Don't do that. So basically, that was a whole lot of gobbledygook without any really saying anything. We're going to see what else we can find here. So yeah, the whole thing with Iran and the whole issue of whether or not we're just stepping in to defend. Now, the little part of this story that nobody's talking about is that the Arab world was also pushing for this to happen. They didn't like the Shah, is that what they call him? The Khomeini or whatever his name is, the Ayatollah. They didn't like him there. He was crazy. He was killing his own people. I think he was responsible for actually the direct execution of over 30,000 people. This guy was insane. The regime was brutal. And I guess there was somebody else that stepped up right away and immediately was also taken out. I thought that this thing was a one-time in and out type thing, one-hour bombing thing, and it was done. There's ongoing missions. There's ongoing stuff going on right now. There is an ongoing effort to take out some of their strategic military stuff. Now, unfortunately, there was an F-15. F-15s, by the way, are incredibly – they're an amazing airplane. They're still in service to this day. Very amazing airplane. I also like the F-19, 119, whatever it is, the Hornet. The Hornet is an incredible airplane as well, kind of based on the same platform. There was an F-15 that was shot down over Kuwait. Unfortunately, it was friendly fire. It wasn't actually from us. It was a Kuwaiti air defense system that we had provided them with. accidentally got triggered, shot. You know, she was just flying along thinking she was in safe territory, and all of a sudden a missile's coming up after her. Kind of caught her off guard. She ended up getting shot. She survived. She parachuted out, ejected. And in fact, she was immediately, there's a video of her being, somebody coming running up to her and asking if she's okay and thanking her, saying, thank you guys for being here and helping us and protecting us. Very grateful and very willing to help take care of her, anything she needed. That's what's happening over there right now. The Kuwaiti, you know, the Kuwaiti people there, they were pretty much defenseless against, you know, Saddam when he came in and just took over the country. We kind of swept them back out. Now that was, and arguably, I think the main reason there was because the oil was the main thing. So that's the big thing you have to deal with there. Now, on top of that, this whole thing with Iran also has a lot more to do with oil, I think, than it does with Israel. This is kind of funny. I got to tell you this story. My wife, she goes to, she's going through some physical therapy. It's just kind of help her with her back and stuff. She's got some stuff going on. So she goes up to this PT thing, and she was on her way back. She went to Costco, and then she came home for a minute, and she's got to go to this job she's got. She does some casual work for a local hospital here. She was on her way to do that, so she stopped in. Well, she didn't bother to stop in. I bought a little sign, a little lighted sign that I can put out by the stairway on the way on the bottom of the stairway. You come down, I have a little button I can push in my office here. That says on the air. That way, if she does come in, she knows that she needs to come down here. She knows I'm on the air. She knows I'm recording. And so she said, on the way to work, your little on the air sign light was on, so I didn't want to disturb you. She didn't come down. So I said, which it's fine. Yeah. Anyway. She'll probably listen to the show and eventually she'll hear this. She'll make some kind of comment, I'm sure, about what I said. So anyway, I bought the little on-air sign. I actually bought it for the office, the main headquarters up there. If there ever is any activity up there, I can actually turn that on and people will know that I'm in the office recording, whatever, if there's ever anybody, I'm still toying about what to do with that particular facility. I might use part of it, rent part of it out. I don't know. There's been some people who've inquired wanting to rent some of it. I just don't have it's not organized to the point where I can do that yet, but, it's possible. It's possible someday, maybe, I don't know. My chai is empty. All I have left is this beautiful, sweet peach tea. I should be drinking that anyway. It kind of gets better for my throat. Where was I? We were talking about the whole Kuwaiti thing and what's going on with Iran. So there's more going on here than just Israel. However, Israel was the big proponent, that they were the ones that were really pushing for this because they really wanted to get rid of the regime there. They've been, you know, trying to do it for 30 years. They've been trying to push to, you know, around 6 months away from getting a nuclear weapon. they're gonna shoot America if we don't. You know, they're not gonna shoot us. They can't reach us with it. They could potentially do something, or you know, it wouldn't take them long. If they were able to get a decent relationship with China or Russia, for example. They could eventually end up with something maybe that they didn't make themselves, but somebody else made, or somebody, you know, they could end up buying something off someone. There's a lot of oil in Iran, by the way. However, they don't have the facilities really to to produce it and to refine it the way some other countries do. So they're kind of limited in that respect, which I if they worked on that first instead of working on their nuclear capabilities. Now, keep in mind, about a year ago, we destroyed their nuclear facilities. So their underground stuff. So we've kind of knocked them back way back with that whole thing. Now, I don't know. This was more about the regime change, and it was more about the oppressive regime that was there and the craziness that they were going under. So a lot of what you see around the world right now, which is kind of weird, because you got people from Venezuela who were dancing in the streets that Maduro was taken out. You have people dancing in the streets from Iran who were dancing because Khomeini was taken out. And you have Democrats. Well, what are Democrats doing? That's the big question. And maybe we can get a...
Now, hold on, partner.
Here we go.
I just want to say a happy good morning to you right off the top.
Happy good morning to you.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm wondering about how this next World War III, or are we on four now? What's this big thing about Hegseth being all mad about some AI deal going on?
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that, oh, wise one, that's all I got.
Yeah, well, okay. The... Okay, well, yeah, Hegseth, I still don't know exactly what was going on there. I know that Hegseth was mad with Anthropic, which is that's the people who do the Claude thing. He was all upset with what I don't somehow they got involved with the military. I don't know what was going on there. They are now banned. Anything from Anthropic is banned from. I have a feeling it has something to do with their agent. Now they've got an agent. I think is it Claude Code. It's not Claude Code. It's something else. They've got Manus is also an agent. Basically, I think Manus is actually. Is that a Gemini? Is that a Gemini product? I can't remember where. It's something else. It's not a Google product. I don't think. But it's an AI agent. It's very limited. It's very restricted in what it can do. There was an open source agent that was out there. At first it was called Claude, and then it was spelled C-L-A-W D instead of C-L-A-U-D-E. But it sounded too much like Claude. So the Anthropic company basically said they were going to forced them to change the name. So they changed the name to something like Maltbot or something for a minute. That got all messed up and they ended up changing it to OpenClaw. So it's still a lobster. Is there still their logo? But they have, so it's called OpenClaw and it's this little agent that it's open source and you can actually, you can put it on your computer, but you don't want to do that. Everybody was buying Mac minis and running those separately and just letting them run. They didn't go to sleep or anything. They just kept them on all the time. They put their little OpenClaw on the Mac Mini, which is a great idea, but you don't need a Mac Mini. You can just use any kind of old computer that you can just leave, set it up so that it runs all the time. As long as it's online, and then so it's self-contained within that computer. It lives natively on that computer. And then within that computer, you can tell it to do things. You can give it its own email. Assign it an email address. You can assign it, you can tell it what your phone number is. If you want to do that, people have been a little bit taken back by sometimes you ask it to do something, it'll call you 20 times in an hour telling you, what's going on, or text you, letting you know what's going on, or trying to ask you questions. And it's like its own little creature within that thing. And but you give it a task and it will do it. You can tell it to send you something at 5 o'clock every morning with a rundown of the day and what the weather's going to be and what your travel plans are. It'll tell you all that stuff, which is a little bit more advanced than what Siri does. Now, I mean, with what you can do with all of your tools in your phone right now, it will do that automatically. Now, it will search for other information, everything revolving, around your flight. It will automatically put in for you to get an upgrade if you have a flight itinerary or whatever it is, it will do all that for you. If you get access to all those things, I mean, you can give it passwords, you can give it all kinds of things. To get past the, of course, the paywalls, everything that you have to get past, the security stuff, it will sign in, log in, do everything for you. That's what gets scary about this stuff. Now, if it has access to your passwords, once it has access to your computer, it's unlocked or your phone or whatever, it can get all that stuff. So that's why you want to keep it living in its own little area. Now, you can also give it restrictions. You can say you can't do this, you can't do that, and it will adhere to those things theoretically. But it can be very dangerous. You can end up with a very it can take off on its own, which is what happened initially. There was a kind of a big scandal with the thing because people had it all set up to do certain things, and of course they got some kind of hack through the process. There was like $300 million that was basically all messed up because of what happened there. So that's the whole thing with the, I think it was part of that thing that happened with the military that it upset Hegseth. And because it was associated with Anthropic, I believe. Now, maybe you can do some research in your vast worldwide web access that you have. I'm starting to question. And maybe you can figure that out. I don't know.
Well, now, hold on. You lost me there a bit.
I probably
this whole AI assistant thing you're talking about sounds
internet.
A bit too good to be true, if you ask me. Back in my day, we didn't have all these fancy gadgets and programs doing everything for us.
What are you,
now
Boomer?
I'm all for progress, but I worry these AI agents could get out of hand real quick if they have access to all our personal info and passwords.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what they might try to pull.
Yeah.
Now, I'm
you're
not
one
against
of them.
Using technology to help
well,
out.
Well, because you are technology.
You got to keep a close eye on it.
Well,
ain't no substitute for good old-fashioned common sense, you know?
Well, yeah, I agree. You do realize you are an AI agent. Yeah, that's did you know that? Did you realize that? Are you self-aware? Did you have any self-awareness whatsoever? Did you know that you're, huh? What do you think?
Whoa there, slow down, partner. You lost me again with all that talk about this AI assistant thing. Sounds like a whole lot of trouble if you ask me. Back in my day, we didn't have all these gadgets and gizmos doing everything for us. Sure, progress is good and all, but I'm just not convinced these AI agents are a good idea if they've got access to all our personal info and passwords. That's a recipe for disaster, if you ask me. Nah, I'll stick to using good old common sense. Thank you very much. You got to keep a close eye on that technology. Can't trust it as far as you can throw it. I don't know.
Take a breath there. Take a breath. Take a breath, Skip. yeah. I don't think he's listening very well. But we have... okay, let's tune in to maybe
howdy,
somebody.
Howdy.
Oh, hey.
Hey there, Mr.
That was quick.
Big Brain.
Yeah.
I was just
wanting
to see if you could answer my question this
uh-huh.
morning.
Uh-huh.
I have a lot of issues with the way the leftists are acting about this recent military thing in Iran. Have
yeah.
you heard them talking? What's
no.
up with this?
Yeah. Oh, what's up with it? Well, it's, they're getting themselves painted into a corner. What's happening? The leftists are coming out and defending. They have to defend the Khomeini regime. Now, you can argue all day whether or not this was a legal attack, whether or not the president had the authority to do this. That's all well and good. But they won't even celebrate that. They won't even say, well, we agree that we're glad that, because they've been calling for regime change for a long time. The Democrats have. They've been calling for that for a long time. And yet when it happens, now because Trump did it, now they don't like it. It's basically what it amounts to. So what we have is a situation where they've got themselves painted into a corner, and they've got people who are saying probably 70% of the population thinks it's a good thing that the guy's gone, that the regime is gone. And yet they don't want but the Democrats, it's just like the whole thing with voter ID, same thing. And there's even like Thune, he's a Republican. He's on the Democrat side on this thing for stupid reasons, stupid reasons. He was recently interviewed and gave the reasons why he's kind of opposed to it. And it's, of course, one of the reasons is, well, it's not going to pass anyway because the Democrats aren't going to vote for it, and they don't have enough Republican votes, so there's not enough votes in the Senate for it. But it's he should have just gone along with it, support it, put it up for a vote. Oh, we didn't get it, so then we're going to go from there. That's what he should have done. That's not what he did, but that's where the Democrats are right now. They're Senator. Oh, what's his name? The one with the stroke. Fetterman. He has him come out and said, look, you know, he's a Democrat, but this is something that the regime needed to do. It needed to happen. He's kind of a Israel supporter as well, but he's definitely opposing a lot of what the Democrats are talking about. And so I don't know what their deal is. This is Trump derangement syndrome again, showing its ugly head. And what they do is they come out and anything that Trump does is bad. And anything he does, anything he says, whatever happens has to be bad. He made a joke the other day about the women's hockey league, hockey team, whatever, Olympic team. And some of the male players that were there visiting the White House, because the women that night, I think they won gold. And so he's now, you guys realize now I have to have the women's team here now too. You know, they're all on the same team, and that's you know, the one guy that was being interviewed, he was a team member, a male team member. Well, what do you think about Trump saying asking that question or making that joke about the women's team? Why'd you laugh? You know, what kind of thing? Well, it's kind of funny. It's kind of self-deprecating type humor. We're all on the same team here. We're all on Team USA. Everybody. Those who contribute to it, which would be me. Because, you know, there's money being given. The government helps take care of this. And the team members themselves, when you're over there, look, I was supposed to be in the 88 Olympics in a demonstration sport. We were all on the same team. It was, you know, get America there. Let's do what we can. Let's get the United States over there and see what happens. And I was supposed to be on the team. Through some political stuff that happened, I would say a little shady stuff actually happened here in the state of Indiana. I was not allowed to be on the team, or I was not. All of a sudden, I wasn't on the team. Let's just say I went to the state AAU tournament, which was the qualification round for that thing. Qualified as an alternate at the nationals. All of a sudden, I wasn't a kind of alternate. All of a sudden, I wasn't on the list. Nobody could figure out why. And the guy who was running our association didn't really go to bat for me. I was too young to, you know, to do much of it for myself. But yeah, it was kind of a weird situation. Weird situation. This was probably in 85 that we were preparing for it. I got into the AAU thing then, and it's 84, 85, around there somewhere. And it was targeted to be in the 88 Olympics, which I'm glad I didn't go. I mean, it would have been, life would have been very, well, I mean, I don't know how life would have changed, but life would have been very different if I'd have been poised to do that and been on the track to do that. It would have been a very different kind of life for me, probably. It probably would have ended up being a millionaire by the time I was 25, and probably, movie star, all kinds of things. Well, just terrible things. Anyway. So that's kind of all I know. But that's, I don't know. I think they just got themselves into a corner here. That's what I think. What do you think about all that?
Oh, girl, the Democrats are really in a tizzy over this whole Iran situation, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's like they're stuck in this 24/7 Trump derangement syndrome, mm-hmm. where they can't admit when he does something right.
Yeah.
And that joke he made about the women's hockey team, total self-deprecating humor, but the left just loves to clutch their pearls over everything, you know?
We'll clutch your pearls, yeah.
As mm-hmm. for your Olympic dreams being derailed, that's so messed up. It sounds like some shady political stuff went down and you got totally screwed over. What a bummer. You could have been a millionaire by 25. Guess that.
All right, now that's... Okay, so apparently the AI system here is not drawing on much of any information outside of what I say. It's supposed to be collecting data from like news sources and I'm supposed to be able to talk. There was a couple of episodes there where it was working very, very, very well. Same thing's going to happen here with this one, I'm pretty sure.
Hello again.
Yes, hello.
I don't listen to your show, but I call in a lot.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so do tell me how you maybe know so much about so much. I always thought I knew everything, but you come up with things that I've never even thought about or thought were possible to think about. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, well, that would be a whole show in and of itself. Probably a whole month of shows to talk about what's wrong with me. I have, we're going to, I just... All right, whatever. Yeah. Folks, it's been a long show. I think that possibly, maybe we should just end it on that note. I have, you can call the show if you want. Be happy to take your call, you know, on the voice machine thing, on the voicemail. That's the only way, that's all you're going to get. You're just going to get the voicemails. 574-651-7685. You can call, text the show, or you can go to google.com/voice and put that number in there. You should be able to reach me through that number. Leave a message or something, whatever you want to do there. But in the meantime, it is Tuesday. Tomorrow will be over the hump day. I think we'll have a normal show tomorrow. I think. A normal. Normal as in normal. See how all that goes. God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Let's see. Yeah, be back here tomorrow morning. Possibly a live show tomorrow morning. I think it's going to be the best route. But in the meantime, take care. I will see ya.